scripture reading for this first Sunday of Lent is the Transfiguration of Jesus. It's not necessarily what was in the lectionary, but it's a great way to start this season. Because this season is truly about gaining an understanding of how holy our God is and how not we are. But how much closer we can draw to God, and God can work on our hearts, and we can gain holiness through Him. There are still miracles in this world. They still happen every day. And this is one of the miracles that happened with Jesus and some of His disciples. As I read this scripture, I invite you to think about whether or not you've seen a miracle, witnessed a miracle, experienced a miracle, or heard about a miracle. Not necessarily like this one, but a miracle. From the Gospel of Matthew, the 17th chapter. 6 days later, Jesus took with Him Peter and James and his brother John, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. And He was transfigured before them, and His face shone like the sun, and His clothes became dazzling white. And suddenly there appeared to them, the disciples, Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll make three dwellings here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." And while he was still talking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from this cloud a voice said, "This is my beloved Son. With Him I am well pleased. Listen to Him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and they were completely overwhelmed with fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up, don't be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus Himself there alone. And as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." May God add blessing and understanding to this, His holy word. Great picture, like that. Jesus has, by the time we read this in Matthew, Jesus has already performed miracles. He has given blessings, has lifted people up who are downtrodden, has included a whole bunch of people in His following that we might not think are appropriate for His following. He's shared meals. He's raised those who were at death's door. He has not raised the dead yet, but He has raised those who were at death's door, specifically Peter's mother, and done miracles before the disciples and the followers. And even though the disciples are following Him faithfully, they believe in Him, they want to be with Him, they want to learn everything they can, they want to be like Jesus, they still do not really understand, comprehend, that before them is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And so we have this occurrence. Now, the disciples, who remember their Old Testament better than we do, probably, knew that, it said in Isaiah, when the Messiah comes, you will see Moses and Elijah riding on a cloud, and the light will shine forth from him. So when this occurrence happens, the disciples all of a sudden are like, uh-oh. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a man of God. He's not just, we think, maybe, but we're not sure about the Messiah. This is the Messiah. This is God. It's a moment in time when they're absolutely sure it's God. It's God enacted through the Savior Jesus Christ. And they're completely overwhelmed. And they don't know what to do. And of course, poor Peter offers to build buildings. Because they don't know what to do. Don't be hard on Peter, the poor man. All he can think of to do is to, build a temple or something to him. And God says, this is my son, my beloved. Listen. Listen. Don't do. Don't make. Don't build. Right now, listen. Last night I told this story, and I'm going to tell it again today. And I had a question after the worship service that absolutely flummoxed me. Don't you love that word, flummoxed? I had someone ask me if the story I told, the experience I told, was real, or if it was just a story. Little did I know that in your past you've had pastors who told you stories that weren't actually real life occurrences for them. Let me just start by saying this is not just a story. This happened. It was real. I remember every detail. When I was preparing to leave the seminary, when I was almost done with seminary, our classes, the graduating classes, go on a retreat. Well, I don't know if they really do anymore or not, because I haven't been there in how many, 27, 8 years. So, but we used to. Our whole graduate class would go on a 5-day retreat. A 5-day silent retreat. For some people, the word silent is not a good thing. I have to be silent for 5 days? Yes. Now, we could communicate with each other in sign language and, things like that. But we were not to talk. The point was, we were to be with God. And everything that could distract us, television, radio, phones, computers, any kind of electronic gizmos, radios, anything like that, was all not there. And for some, that was really tough. I didn't have too much trouble with that. And more trouble with not talking. We stayed at a nun's retirement center in Nernix, Kentucky. I know you all know where that is. and the sisters, Benedictine sisters that lived there, were retired from their active ministries. And they went there and they had a nursing home and they had, apartments and things like that. And they still did whatever they could, but they would spend their last days there. And one of the things that helped make money for them to be able to continue living there and have medicines and things was this retreat center. And we stayed in dormitory-like facilities, very sparse. The only thing, bed, lamp, desk, notebook, Bible. That's all you need. You brought your clothes in. But there was inspection the first night to make sure you didn't sneak in like your Game Boy or your portable TV or something like that. We were there for a reason. We were there to get close to God. And every day, most of us spent the majority of our time reading scripture, journaling, silent prayer, meditation, being in nature, walking. They had a lovely lake with a walking trail around it, and I walked out there. At that time, my mother had just been diagnosed as basically being terminal. Not that she was going to die that minute or anything, but there was just nothing more they could do for her. And I was getting ready to start the adventure of ministry, and I was conflicted at the moment. I was a little confused. I thought God called me into this ministry, but now it looked like my mother was going to need care, and what was I going to do? And I was, you know, how you let yourself get all worked up and upset and you don't. So I was asking God all these questions at this retreat. Lord, I want to follow you. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to do ministry. I had already accepted a position in Peoria, Illinois. I want to go to Peoria and do good ministry, but what about Mom? Do I take her with me? Do I leave her here? Do I put her in a nursing home? Do I try to have her live with me and take care of her? What do I? God, I have so many questions, and we have to get these resolved. And so my main purpose in that retreat was to get all those questions answered. Every time I'd go out for a walk, which was several times during the day, there would be these squirrels. Now, I know, this is where it gets a little weird. Try to hang there with me. I know. Most of us don't like squirrels. Some of us do, but we don't think anything godly about them. I'd walk out of the dormitory, and there were three squirrels. One there, one up in the tree, one there. And they're all right at me. I mean, right at me, at my face. Well, it startled me the first time, and then the second, third time it was kind of funny, and then it got a little aggravating. I was just kind of like, what is your deal, guys? I'm not taking your nuts. I'm not doing anything. And I go on my walk. I wasn't getting anywhere with my answers. First day, second day, third day, walked out to do, you know, walk around. Here's the squirrels. One right there, one right there, one right there. And I looked at them, and I thought, what have I got to lose? And I said, okay, what do you have to tell me? And one came down from the tree, and the three of them started going down the hill. Not on the trail, but, you know, in the grass and mud and leaves and all that. Down the hill. I thought, oh, this is weird. They're all going together. Should I go? So I followed down the hill. And when they got to the bottom of the hill, there is a pump house. It used to be the water pump house, but it's now just an antique building. And to the side, around the side, there is a grotto. As I was walking, and I'll explain more about that in a minute, I'm walking down the hill behind the squirrels. They disappeared around the building, and I thought, where'd they go? I went around the building, and here we are at the grotto. Now, for those of you who don't know what a grotto is, it is an archway that is used primarily in the Roman Catholic Church, but not always. It's oftentimes found at retreat centers. It can be man-made, it can be natural. It can be a big cave, it can be a small, you know, just archway. This particular one, the nuns had built, but they built it from the natural stones that they found in the lake. And so it was a stone archway. It was about 4.5 feet in length as you're walking through it. And then it was probably about 6 feet wide, and so the two people could, you know, easily walk through it. And it, when you go to a grotto, there is always sacred things, statuary and things there. There was a statue of Mary, the Mother of God, and a fountain at this particular grotto. And I hadn't really noticed the grotto before. It's so close to the building, you know, when you're looking from a distance, they kind of all look like one thing. And I really hadn't noticed it before. And so I stood there, and I thought, well, this is really cool. But I wonder why the squirrels brought me. And I started looking around for the squirrels and didn't see the squirrels. And I looked in the grotto. You are my witness. And the squirrels were sitting on the stone bench inside the grotto. All three of them. And when I looked down, and then in the grotto, they left. I didn't see them again the entire retreat. Not saying I didn't see any squirrels, but I mean, none of them appeared in trees and were yelling at me and all of that kind of stuff. I sat down on a bench. You know all the questions, God. Please, please show me a sign. Give me something that helps me understand. And I can only describe the feelings at this point, and I don't do a very good job because we don't have the language. But the first thing was the place was filled with oxygen. If you've ever been over-oxygenated, you feel sort of lightheaded and a little dizzy and, you know, kind of, woo, I'm alert. That was the first thing that happened. And then there was a voice. It wasn't deep and male. It wasn't high and female. It was a voice. It was not a human voice. It was not a mechanical voice. But the voice said, do you trust me? And I sat there for a few minutes and I really examined my heart. And I said, yes, God, I trust you. What have you to tell me? And God said, everything will be all right. And I sat there, waiting for the next part. God said, everything will be all right. What more do I need? I was sitting there waiting for details. On August this day, we're going to do... Everything will be all right. Then I left the grotto. I'll wait. Tremendous emotional, psychological weight had been lifted off my shoulders. I knew I had been in the presence of God. God's power is available to everyone. God's blessings, God's word, God's very voice, God's spirit is available to everyone. I am no one special. The only thing I did was shut up and listen. Let us pray. Almighty God, you are all powerful, and we are not. You are holy, and we are not. You are amazing, and you give to us experiences we cannot explain. We can only experience and share in times when we can't.
when you want us to. This Lenten season, Lord, I ask you to provide everyone here with your strong presence in ways that they can see and feel and hear and touch. Authentic ways, not the ways of fakes and false sayers, but authentic. Whether it be that holy warmth that surrounds us in times when we know you're near, or it be the strong voice challenging us to do a new thing, God, be present with us now. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is How Great Thou Art, because God is so great. And we need God so much. Let's stand and sing.